Hello, everybody, and welcome to tonight's event. The date is May 26, 2022, and Chris Nova is here along with.
Kim Nova.
And we're going to discuss the Habel 1.
And let's spell it first before we move any further so you guys can look it up if you want more information. It is capital H-A-B as in boy, L-E, capital O-N as in Nancy, E. Habel 1, like the number one.
Correct.
So, what is it? Well, if any of you have ever played video games, it's like a controller. But instead of controlling a video game, it's a controller for your phone. It can also work as an external keyboard for your device, and it's not just for your phone. Even though the website calls it the assistant to your smartphone, it's really the assistant with any of your phones or tablets, whether they be an iPad, iPhone, probably even your old iPod Touches will work, and your Android phones and tablets as well.
Exactly. So let's talk about what it looks like. So it's about the size of the iPhone SE 2020, which Kim can get us the dimensions rather quickly.
I can. I'm looking for them now. It is 3.9 inches long by 1.9 wide, and it is actually smaller than an iPhone 2020 SE, as we just figured out by Chris putting it on top of one. It's significantly smaller.
Yes, well, I don't know about significantly.
Significantly enough to notice. It fits
Right.
inside the top of the screen.
It does. So if you have a case with ridges on it, you can fit it on top of your screen.
Yep.
Now, the Habel itself is a device that has eight buttons on it. This is on the top face. Six of them are for Braille entry. You have a backspace, and you have a space bar, if you will. The space bar is .8 on the right side, and the backspace is .7 on the left side.
But they do a lot more than that, as you will discover. And those keys are shaped and look quite different than the other six keys, don't they?
They do. So on the front of the Habel, you have a switch that you turn on. You physically turn it on, it vibrates. You physically turn it off with that switch.
You turn it on to the right. I think of it as right on, you know, the old 60s slogan, right on. Or you turn it left to turn it off.
Right. And on the back, you have a USB-C port for charging your Habel. The Habel, from day-to-day use, should last about 14 days without charging. So let's go back for a second on the keys. If anybody's used Braille screen input, for example, you would hold the Habel, kind of like you would hold your iPhone in Braille screen input mode. Your fingers, your pointer, your middle, and your ring on each hand are pointing towards the center of the device. And your fingers should rest nicely on dot 1, dot 2, dot 3. It's on the left side. Dot 4, dot 5, dot 6 is on the right side. And the way that I'm actually holding the Habel right now, the on-off switch is facing towards the ceiling and the USB-C port is facing towards the ground. So I'm holding it vertically. I've got my two thumbs on the bottom of the Habel, kind of like resting there. And I've got my two pinkies underneath the bottom of the Habel where the USB-C port is, and they are giving it leverage to hold it. So the Habel is not a device that you're going to be able to write on without holding it in the air.
But there are advantages to that, and we'll talk about that.
Sure. Again, your dots 1, 2, 3 are on the left side. Dot 1 is facing towards the ceiling. Dot 3 is facing towards the floor. Dot 4 is facing towards the ceiling, and dot 6 is facing towards the floor. Now, there is a command for people like me who can't comprehend writing this way. And the reason I even say that is because I've done Braille, but I've done Braille for all my life in the Perkins style of writing, where your fingers are horizontal across the device and your fingers are pressing on keys that way. So your regular Perkins style device. For me, at least, if I take the dots and flip them, so if I put dot 3 where dot 1 is and dot 4 where dot 6 is and vice versa, I can actually type better that way, for whatever reason. I don't know what it is, but it's kind of weird.
And they clearly thought of people like you because there is, in fact, a key command to reverse the keys.
Right. You're not physically reversing the machine.
Nope.
You are reversing the keys.
So 1 and 4 are under your ring fingers now.
Right.
2 and 5 are under your middle fingers and 3 and 6 are under your pointer fingers. I have to think about it.
So in that weird configuration, and the way I'm saying it's weird configuration is because I just, for whatever reason, I can write better with it. The dots 3 and 6 are facing towards the ceiling now, and dots 1 and 4 are facing towards the floor. Again, the 1 and 4 are now closer to the USB-C port, and the 3 and 6 are closer to the on-off switch. And I do have it in the normal configuration, which is not the one I just described. So it's the original configuration that I described, and you can change that at will.
Yeah, there's a menu. There's a little menu that we'll talk about later called the Hable menu, and it's got lots of cool commands like that in it that you can change. What do you feel about the keyboard itself? And I said feel on purpose. Do you like those keys? Because I think they're a little curved, aren't they?
They are a little curved. Your fingertips can fit in them quite nicely. The thing about the Hable, though, is if I start typing, I can go... So if you hear, it is a little clicky.
It's a little clicky. What do you think about the 7 and 8? Are they easily distinguishable for you?
Yes.
From 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6?
Absolutely, because they are big, long keys, and they are almost the size of 2 keys put together, one on top of each other. So, for example, if I'm feeling this device right now, the top of dot 7 and 8, or key 7 and 8, are flush with 1 and 4. And also the bottoms of those keys are flush with dots 2 and 5.
So which of your fingers press 7 and 8?
My middle fingers can press 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. My other fingers, my pointer fingers, can press 7 or 8. It really just depends on what I want to do at the time.
Yeah, so you can kind of be flexible with those, which is kind of nice. So it's an... very small device, as you've noticed. It's not a very bulky device either. And it's made really well. Tap on the side of it. It's a nice device. We'll talk in a minute about one of the things that makes it really cool. It's got USB-C charging, which obviously is cool. Let's talk about some of the other things that kind of sets it apart. For one thing, it uses Bluetooth 5.1. That's always really good because right now that is the fastest Bluetooth protocol available. So you're going to have your devices and you're going to get a nice, stable connection to your phones, your tablets, whatever you're using. You can connect to up to 5 Bluetooth devices at once, which is pretty cool. Now, we're going to talk, there is one caveat to that that we'll discuss later, but note that you can connect to 5 devices. So if you have one device, that's great. You don't have to worry about it. But if you have, say, an iPhone and maybe an Android tablet or an Android phone and then maybe something else, or you're using this for more than one person, then multiple people can connect to the Hable without worrying about it. You get both physical buttons and haptic feedback. That's really nice because you know how sometimes with Braille screen input, you'll be trying your best to enter one particular command? And it's a little like this when you're working with the Braille screen information on Android as well. But you'll try and enter a command, and it's not entering that letter. You don't know what you're doing wrong, but it is not entering the letter or the number or whatever you're trying to do. With this, you have the physical buttons, so I think to some degree you have more confidence. Also, I don't know about you, when I get texted at 2 in the morning and need to respond, if that happens to you, I'm not real awake at 2 in the morning to respond, usually. So I want to be quite sure what I am actually writing, and this makes it easier. I also find, and this is one of the things that Chris and I discussed a lot, is the fact that key commands that this thing uses are really intuitive. Somebody thought this out very, very well. Would you agree?
Yes, but I wanted to go back to the hardware for a second.
Okay.
Because on the lower right-hand corner or edge or bottom right edge of the Hable, you have a place to connect a lanyard for your wrist.
Mm-hmm.
So if you find the USB-C port, and again, I'm holding it with the USB-C port facing the ground. You slide your finger to the right, you're going to find 2 holes, and that's where you slip your lanyard through.
Yep, so if you want to carry it around your neck or on your wrist or whatever, you can do so. You'd need a longer lanyard, I think, to put it around your neck, but I don't see any reason why you couldn't do it. It is a wrist lanyard, though, that actually comes in the box. So you get your charging cord, and you get your wrist lanyard, and then you have the ability to just go to town and begin using your device.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you thinking about those key commands? Do you like them?
I do, and we're both pretty new to some of these key commands as well, but They have commands for iOS, they have commands for Android, and they have commands to bring up your assistant, should you want to use your assistant with the device. What they don't have, if you connect it to a Windows PC or a Mac, the only thing you can do is type with it. So you're not going to be able to control your screen reader with it.
Another thing I really like about the Hable is that it's made from ABS recycled plastic. So while it is made of a plastic material, it's still something that is kind of thinking about being a little conscientious about these things, which I think is really nice. I also love the charge time on it. When you use this thing a lot, when you're using it intensively, you'll still get approximately 2 weeks off of a single charge.
Right.
And again, USB-C charging makes that so easy because you can plug that smaller end of your USB-C cable in either way you want to that charging port. It's the only port on the device, which also makes it easy. You don't have to worry about which port. There's only one. And you just charge it and go. And according to their website, they have users from the ages of 5 to 82 who use this device. So that's pretty cool. It's really used for long and intensive usage.
I think if you don't want to use a touchscreen, but you want all the advantages of a smartphone, I think you can get away with connecting this and carrying this as your Bluetooth keyboard or Bluetooth companion in order to, you know, make that a thing.
It's definitely small enough. I carry a fairly small purse, and this would even fit in my purse with no problem, in addition to my phone.
Right.
So it's pretty cool.
But if you never want to touch your touchscreen, as long as you have Bluetooth connectivity, you should be okay navigating your entire device with this.
Oh, yeah. And you know what else I really like? I like the fact that there's a switch. You don't have to worry about that accidentally coming on in your purse before you take it out and start playing with it to utilize your phone.
You feel the switch. You're not really going to...
No, I'm not going to actually touch it right now, but it's a very distinctive switch. It's rectangular, so you're looking for a kind of small, rounded rectangle on the side, and you're not going to switch that accidentally, I don't think.
Mm-mm.
I love these nice elongated 7 and 8 buttons, too. I was just playing with it for a second. It's a rectangular device. I don't think we mentioned that at the beginning. It's kind of got fat little sides, and then it kind of curves inward, and I really like it. I like the fact that it's comfortable. When I put it in my hands, it kind of rests against my pinkies are underneath it, my little fingers, and then it's resting against the sides of my hands, and I can just say, I am typing on the table. And I messed up once. I'm not actually typing on it because it's not on, but I was hitting what would be the space bar, .8. So a lot of you asked about this, so we're going to have a little discussion quickly about what is the difference between this and another small, affordable writing device, mobile writing device, the Orbit Writer.